This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We turn now to another perspective on the conflict in the Middle East. State Representative Abdel Nasser Rashid is a Democrat from the town of Bridgeview, Illinois. He's also the first Palestinian-American to be elected to the Illinois General Assembly. He's worked for a number of other elected officials and campaigns here, including on the presidential campaign of Bernie Sanders. Representative Rashid, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to be on.
And as ever, listeners, 800-222-9455 is the number. If you have a question suitable for a state representative talking about this, we've had a number of calls with some deeper foreign policy type questions, and we had a conversation like that last week. We'll have another one soon, but 800-222-9455. So, Representative Rashid, before we talk about the last few weeks, I do want to go back in time because you are from the West Bank originally. Can you talk about what your upbringing was like there?
Sure. So I was born in Chicago, but I moved to the Palestinian village of Tormusaya when I was 5 years old, where I'm from, where my family's from. I lived there for 6 years. So I did all of elementary school in the West Bank. It was, you know, I was young, ages 5 to 11, and, you know, didn't necessarily have, of course, the political context for what was happening around me, didn't understand it all, but I did get to experience it and to see what it was like to live under occupation, under a brutal military occupation where you fear for your life, where you get stopped at checkpoints that prevent you from going to school, where the water gets shut off, where your electricity gets shut off, where family members are injured or arrested. And, you know, that's, you know, just a glimpse into life under occupation. For someone who was, you know, young, like, you know, had I been older, I probably would have more stories to share of what it's like to be experiencing, you know, a brutal military occupation that does not treat Palestinians as equals. I had to explain to my children this summer when we visited and when the Israeli settlers invaded our village that unfortunately we have to be especially careful because the Israeli government does not care about our rights, does not believe that we deserve to have protection. You know, that is not a sustainable way to bring forward any sort of lasting solution to this conflict.
Yeah. And you mentioned the attack on your hometown when you were visiting with your family this past summer. Apparently that was retaliation for a shooting that had killed four Israelis. What was that like? What happened there?
Well, and there was a shooting that had killed four Israelis, but the day before that, Israel had raided the refugee camp in Jenin and killed, I don't remember, I think it was 7 or 10 Palestinians. So, and that's the reality. We can talk about this being a tit for tat or a cycle of violence. Yeah. But the reality is there is a context to what's happening. And that is, there has been an occupation of Palestinian lands. There has been a brutal 16-year siege on Gaza that has trapped 2 million people in an open air prison. There have been you know, brutal military assaults on Gaza that have killed over 5,000 people since 2008. And just now, since the attack on October 7, more than 2,000 children, Palestinian children, have been killed in Gaza over the last 2 weeks. This is completely, completely unacceptable. For us to have any path forward that actually protects Israelis and Palestinians, we do need to have the adult conversation about how we got to this point and what America's role is in perpetuating the violence. And it hasn't worked. Neither Palestinians nor Israelis have been made safer by the approach that we've taken. So, you know, I don't want to necessarily respond to everything, you know, what my colleague said earlier, and I have great respect for him and look forward to working with him on many other issues. But, you know, 80% of Democrats and 66% of all Americans believe that we should be calling for a ceasefire because people understand that We have to stop the violence and have a real conversation about what the future looks like.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you and a member of the Jewish Caucus, Representative Didich, as I did earlier, is this idea that state lawmakers don't often involve themselves or speak out on foreign affairs. Obviously, this is a global event, though, and a lot of people have been weighing in. Can you talk about that statement? I read a little bit of it earlier. It said, you know, all loss of life is tragic. It acknowledged the deep pain that many Illinoisans were feeling about what was happening there. And it had that conclusion: we will not be able to achieve peace when millions of Palestinians are denied basic human rights. We urge the United States and the international community to work toward long-term solutions that end the inequality that's at the root cause of the violence. Why did you want to say that?
Let me start by addressing the point about, you know, state lawmakers and involvement in Sure. foreign policy. And I think that's generally accurate. What I think makes this situation different, not only the events of October 7 and since, but this the Israel-Palestine situation overall, is that America is deeply, deeply embedded in the conflict. America provides Israel with close to $4 billion a year in military funding. America provides diplomatic protection to Israel at the international stage. America vetoes UN Security Council resolutions that are critical of Israel. And so in this particular case, unlike other, of course, America's got foreign policy involvement in many things. However, here the situation is so, America has tied itself at the hip. And I'm talking about the United States government, tied itself at the hip with the Israeli occupation and with the siege on Gaza, that of course it is a matter of political concern for many people, including state lawmakers and many in the public and faith institutions and so many others. Turning to the statement, it was really important that we not accept any violence against civilians, whether it is Israeli civilians or Palestinian civilians. By the time the statement that I helped draft was released, more than 300 Palestinians had been killed in Gaza already. And frankly, many of us predicted that this would become a highly, highly untenable and catastrophic situation if we don't have serious conversations quickly about how to achieve a long-term solution and really address protections for Israelis and for Palestinians. And that is exactly what has unfolded. More than 5,000 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza in the last 2 weeks, more than 2,000 children. And I've seen the horrific videos of Israeli civilians being attacked, and I've seen the horrific videos of Palestinian children whose bodies are in shambles and whose, I don't want to even talk about it. And that's why we needed to make that statement, because there is no military solution to what is happening in Israel and Palestine right now. And there is no military solution to the conflict overall. We need to make sure that we're addressing the brutal military occupation that has subjected Palestinians to humiliating, generations of Palestinians to lives of just subjugation. That is a 16-year siege on Gaza that has deprived it of basic human services, that has led to a mental health catastrophe there, that has led to suicide rates going through the roof, that has made water completely undrinkable. And even now, in the last 2 weeks, you have the Israeli ministers of government calling Palestinians human animals and saying they will, quote, eliminate everything in Gaza. They flattened entire neighborhoods. They're using language that is not just dehumanizing, but that is genocidal. In fact, over the summer, before this all happened, you had an Israeli minister of government calling to wipe the village of Hawara off the map. It was a Palestinian village in the West Bank. That is why Americans support a ceasefire. That is why I'm so proud that 17 of my colleagues and I called for de-escalation, so that we can really, really take a serious look at what a path to peace looks like.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with State Representative Abdel Nasser Rashid, who is a Democrat from Bridgeview, Illinois, also the first Palestinian American to be elected to the Illinois General Assembly. And as we heard, he spent part of his childhood in the West Bank growing up there. You know, a number of your colleagues, as we just heard today, in that, especially that first weekend, heard those some of the things you said, that context, that. And obviously, as you said, there's a deep history here and a lot of context, and it's a complicated issue. But they were taken aback by those statements. I wonder what you have said to them, or what you will say to them, what you say to them now, that, you know, it's important to remember the fuller picture in your view.
Yeah, look, Brian, it's really easy and important for me to denounce attacks against civilians, against Israeli civilians, against Palestinian civilians. I don't care who the perpetrator is. If Israel is attacking civilians, if Hamas is attacking civilians, that is absolutely unacceptable. And moral clarity is understanding that and not having a double standard to only denounce attacks when they happen on Israelis, but ignore the fact that Palestinians have been killed by the thousands in Gaza. And of course, this year alone, more than 250 Palestinians were killed before October 7 in the West Bank. And so, moral clarity means understanding that this has to stop and this did not begin on October 7. And I was absolutely horrified by what I saw on October 7. But I have no problem and no issue condemning attacks on civilians. What I ask for is that we be able to value Palestinian lives as well, and not blame Palestinians for the occupation that has existed long before Hamas has existed as an organization, and that the siege on Gaza that has completely deprived Palestinians of their basic rights. That should not be a hard thing to ask for, and frankly, that is why we're having this fissure in the Democratic Party, because the Democratic base, and in fact, many Americans who are independents or Republicans as well, understand that this is untenable, that we have to look at the full context and have a serious conversation about what our country's role is in perpetuating this really horrific status quo.
What have you been hearing from your constituents about all of this in the past few weeks?
We've gotten many, many messages of concern, both for people's families abroad and, of course, especially since the brutal murder of the 6-year-old Palestinian boy in Plainfield, people concerned about their well-being here. I've also gotten, many messages from constituents who are, neither Israel, connected to what is happening in Israel or Palestine, who are simply expressing their solidarity and expressing their, gratefulness for me using my voice to try to call for a ceasefire and for de-escalation. It has been heartwarming getting those kinds of messages, not just by constituents, but by so many colleagues and friends. This is bigger than any one of us right now. And if we don't want to see the situation escalate into something that we'll all be incredibly, incredibly horrified at having been a part of, it's going to take everyone using their voice to call for ceasefire and for peace.
What does peace look like ultimately to you? Or do you favor the two-state solution, which you don't hear much talk of anymore?
Yeah, you really don't, and that's partly because of Israel's expansionist approach in the West Bank has stolen Palestinian land at will and expanded settlements. They are evicting families in Jerusalem. There is significant challenges, as you hear from our federal elected officials, saying the two-state solution is becoming less and less feasible because of the deep entrenchment of the occupation. And ultimately, that'll be for Israelis and for Palestinians to figure out what a solution looks like. But what I can tell you is that the American government, if it wants to play a positive role in achieving peace, needs to look take a very hard look at the role it's playing today in the violence that's happening in Israel and Palestine, and its role historically in allowing Israel to be completely unaccountable for its policies and continuing to provide $4 billion in American, you know, taxpayer dollars to the Israeli military, and providing all of the cover for Israel to do what it's doing. That is not a productive role. That is unfortunately a part of the problem here. And so, you know, while I don't have the answer, you know, as my colleague as well mentioned, in terms of what exactly will happen over the long run, I do believe that we need to have a serious conversation about the American role in perpetuating the horrific violence that's unfolding and the inability to have reached a better place on this conflict overall.
We don't have time to do the issue justice, but only about a minute remaining. I know Illinois has even involved itself in this matter by sort of weighing in sort of against the BDS movement. I wonder if that's something you will attempt to revisit ever in your legislative career.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of work on our hands to educate people about what is happening, you know, in Israel and Palestine. And certainly, I think it was absolutely wrongheaded for the state of Illinois in 2015 to insert itself into this foreign policy issue and to try to stifle dissent and activism for Palestinian human rights. I don't know exactly what the legislative outlook will be on that or on any other issues. As was stated, you know, the legislature, which rarely gets involved in foreign policy matters, decided to get involved in this one with that piece of legislation. And so have other states and other parts of the country that have tried to create loyalty pledges to, have, for example, teachers say that they will not boycott Israel, and thankfully courts have struck down laws like that.
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. I'm so sorry. Representative Abdel Nasser Rashid, thank you so much for being with us today on
the
21st
Brian.
Show. More to come. Stay with us.